Did you still want me to make the announcement about the index cards? The index cards. If you have any questions about the teaching at any time, there's index cards back there on the back table. And you were, we ask you to please write down your questions, place them on the pulpit or whatnot. It's very important to us to make sure that your questions are answered. We know that when we're preaching and teaching, we're not covering everything there is to the topic. We know that in somebody's mind they could be saying, yeah, but what would you say to this or what would you say to this? And we want you to ask that question because we know there's a lot there that we can't cover. But we want you to ask that question because we want to either have the challenge or we want to give you the answer. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Very basic. Must believe that He is. He is what? Everybody here tonight believe in God? I think so. We believe that He is what? He just is. So He is, but does He live in heaven? Is His dwelling, is His throne in heaven? Okay, so we have to believe that about God, to believe that God is. Well, do we believe that God is just? Okay. Do we believe that God is honest? Okay. Do you got to believe what God says about Himself? Well, yeah, because I believe He's honest. He says it, it's going to be the way it is. So there's a lot to the is. That we believe in God. To believe that He is. So, before we get into this, I would like us to stand together and sing, I Want More of Jesus. More and more and more. I want you to think about what you're saying when you sing that song. And I think I'm going to challenge what you said this week. I don't want you to take what I said tonight and think I've come to a conclusion. I'm leaving things out tonight that will be added the next time and the next time. These three messages are one message, starting at the beginning to the end. You wouldn't want it all tonight. But let's sing that song, and then let's allow ourselves to be challenged by what we say in this song.
I want more of Jesus, more and more of
seated. You know, I think in Christianity we all understand that the what's expected of us, it would be wrong for us to say that we've arrived. It would be wrong for us to say that we're perfect. Well, that wouldn't go over well. But for some reason, I think that with our mouth, while we would never say that, I think down in the deep in the deepness of our soul and our decision making, we don't really feel like we have that much need to grow because there are things that are taught and said and it rarely has a major effect on anybody. And I wonder, do they just think that they don't need it? I can fall into that same trap. When I'm preaching to myself. So I'm sitting back there too. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Titus Chapter 2, verse 11. And you don't need to turn in your Bible a lot tonight. But if I would like you just to keep your Bible open to Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Because I can anticipate, and I'm talking to you and I'm talking to anybody listening that may listen to this in the future. I can anticipate somebody thinking that I'm not teaching grace, or I'm not throwing accusations. I can anticipate, I can hear the accusations. So if you'll just open your Bible to Titus chapter 2, verse 11, and go ahead and read down through verse 15. And any time you want to say that to me during this message, I want you to look at your lap and read that again. The grace of God that bringeth salvation is the grace of God that we need to listen to. And it teaches us the very opposite of what today's grace is being taught over the pulpit. The very opposite. It couldn't be more opposite. Denying ungodliness. Wait, you're not going to frustrate the grace of God, are you? You wouldn't want to frustrate the grace of God, would you? The grace of God that brings salvation. So let's leave it open there. We're not talking about grace. I'm actually going to be teaching the grace of God, but we're not going to be using the word grace. Okay, because we're going to be talking about the ungodliness and worldly lust, living soberly, righteously, and godly, zealous of good works. The grace of God in our day has gutted the grace of God that brings salvation. So if you leave your Bible there, then if you struggle with that, look down and say, is he actually violating the grace of God when I'm preaching? Just look down and read that if you struggle with that. So we all know about the story of Paul and Silas in the jail. They sang and they prayed. And at midnight, there was a great earthquake. I really wanted to do a flannel graph with the children and do this story, but I know we don't have time for it tonight, so I decided not to. But at midnight, they sang and prayed. And there was an earthquake. And all the prison doors were open and everybody was freed and the guard was quite concerned. He thought everyone had fled and that would mean the end of his life as soon as he got caught. So he went to kill himself. And Paul told him, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he came in and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Likely he was thinking about his physical life. Likely. The apostle answers and says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And he was talking about his soul. Possibly the jailer was thinking about his soul as well. Not really for me to speculate. But the answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Tonight, I want to redig the wells on this topic of believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Because without faith that believes that He is, it is impossible to please Him. So if you don't know how to believe that He is, then it's still impossible to please Him. We're going to talk about what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we get into it, in Ephesians it says He gave some apostles and prophets, some evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'll ask you again, anybody feel like you've arrived? The reason I want to ask that question is, while most of us would say absolutely not, it is that feeling of arrival that keeps us from being able to go on to perfection. Well, you didn't know about the grace of God. God didn't expect perfection out of us. We're just a bunch of fallen sinners. And I anticipate all that. But this is what He said. And Titus 2:11 is what He said, too, about getting salvation, too. For the perfecting of the saints. There's nothing that will harm your salvation more than misunderstanding God's expectations of you and having wrong expectations yourselves. Right. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we all come unto a perfect man. That's what God wants from us. Getting the proper expectation is going to be so important, and the proper understanding of God's expectation. Now, here's one of these verses. I've got a few of these that I'm going to share with you tonight. And these messages that I'm going to teach this week are things that have moved me and are very, these principles are the foundation of my faith and determination. And I'm trying to present them to you because I think they can do you a lot of good. They do me a lot of good. But it's very difficult to transmit the effect. I can't transmit the effect. It's very difficult to transmit the reality that I see in these principles and this. So Jesus says, talking about the unjust judge, and shall not, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. And here's what he says that touched me. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And as I thought about that, if what most people are saying today is true, it's like, I don't know why he was worried about that. All you had to do was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're going to be saved. Like, why was Jesus worried that that was going to be so hard? False grace today, who wouldn't want a fire escape? He made it so easy. I mean, he really did make it so easy for us. And he was worried he was going to find faith on the earth. No, I don't think Jesus was that ignorant. When Jesus says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That makes my hair stand up. What does Jesus think faith is? He also said, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming. He didn't say, shall I? He told you what it would be like. So shall it be, as the days of Noah were. Strive to enter in. What did Jesus... You know, because I'm not just trying to get a fire escape. And I also understand that you're not going to get no fire escape unless he says that he found faith. Right. Unless he says that you believe that he is. So important for us to get a proper understanding of this, because it's impossible to please him unless you have a proper understanding of this. Here's something else that he said. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas was with them. In John 20 and verse 26, Jesus shows him his hands and his side. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What does he mean by blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed? And let me add, as though they had seen. Can you believe in Jesus if you don't, if your belief does not make you act as though you had seen? Thomas, he saw him now and he said, I believe, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, so Thomas believed now that he had seen and he acted upon that. And Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have acted that same way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. There is nothing like having had seen and believing the danger, because you see, think of a dangerous highway. And we know it's dangerous, and we know this is a dangerous highway. So everybody warns about this highway. It's by here. We got a lot of children out here playing. Let me tell you. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Yeah. Blessed are they that have not seen children and yet have believed. When I said, stay off the highway. Listen, by the time you've seen, it's too late for somebody. Blessed are they that have not seen. Jesus has seen. He's seen what we don't see. And he says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I saw the tragedy on the highway before you ever came along. I know what it looks like. Children, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed as though they had seen. That's the only way you actually believe. You don't believe unless you can, unless you add that on the end. That's implied. That's automatic.
Right.
You can't say, I believe, and then when you see, go, oh, now I'm going to do this. I believe, and so I'm going to do this. Oh, now I see, so I'm going to do this. I didn't know it was actually the truth. You didn't believe. There's a lot to that word, believe. You could have a bear in your camp and nobody believes you. But you just saw people getting tore up. And there's some people that believe you and some people that don't. And you just saw the reality of it. And you say, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Got to safety. In other words, believed as though they had seen. There's a lion that's walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. I think of Noah as he built that boat, knowing all these people would drown as his pleas and calls for repentance fell on deaf ears. Jesus said, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be.
Right.
Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You remember me emphasizing in Sunday school, no second chance? I think that's when I emphasized it. No second chance. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Do you believe that? What does that mean? Well, that means that if God says don't do it, or you'll regret it, that if I go ahead and do it and I don't regret it, then God was mocked.
Right.
If I'm a child and father says, don't let me catch you stealing cookies, or you're going to regret it. And I go steal cookies. You know, the child that went and stole cookies yesterday and got and regretted it would tell me, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. He's not mocked. And I would do well to listen. Do you believe that God is not mocked? Let me tell you. Even a selfish person, if they believed that God was not mocked, would obey God. Because even a selfish child would stop taking cookies as the switch was being applied. And if every time it got applied, he took a cookie, it got applied, an instant regret, you'd stop. Because you find out there's a higher pain that's countering the pleasure. Do you believe that God is not mocked as though you had seen God's retribution? If you do not allow that to sink in, then you don't really believe it. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed, because by the time you're reaping, it's too late. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. This is a... That phrase right there means a lot to me. Basically, blessed are they that don't have to go learn it all the hard way. And the thing with God is, you have one chance. There are a lot of reckless drivers in Christianity. There's a lot of reckless driving in Christianity. There's nothing like somebody who drives along, distracted, doing their own thing. They can't listen to a warning from dad. They can't listen to a warning from somebody else. They're just driving along. They're a reckless driver. And you go, they're going to have to learn the hard way. And then the tragedy that can take place. And you say, blessed are they that didn't have to do that and were able to believe the warnings. But in Christianity, when that wreck happens for the final time and when we actually see it in eternal and a judgment day, there is no going back. It's fatality. Right. Blessed are they that have not seen. Who didn't drive reckless. Who obeyed the rules. Who paid attention to the signs. The stop signs. The yield signs. The curve signs. All the road signs. Didn't have to go learn that that curve could be taken a little faster. We'll tell you part of the problem here. In Ecclesiastes 8:11, it says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Why? Why? Because he stops believing in the certainty of the penalty. He loves his sin. And God knows how to weed out the selfish people that love their sin. And he knows that if he executed punishment speedily, they would only do what's right because they have to, because of fear of punishment. God wants to take people who've reconciled their mind and heart to and love his way. That's why I said even a selfish person would obey God if it was executed speedily just to save their hide. But he's not interested in people like that filling his heaven. You would ruin the Garden of Eden.
Right.
Because there would have to be a switch there the whole time for you. Well, that would be heaven. The next verse says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. And it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. You're in one of those camps. You are in one of those camps, and we're going to talk about that tonight. You're either in verse 11 or you're in verse 12. You're the one that because sentence is not executed speedily, you keep on transgressing. Or you're the one that says, I don't care if he does evil 100 times, I know it will be well with them that fear God. I want to look at a few of our warnings and promises from the Scripture. And I just want to say, blessed are they that have not seen. Didn't have to go wait till judgment day to find out. They could just believe. Because if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you could be saved. But you can't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and say, he lied to me in that verse. Well, he didn't mean what he said there. Well, I don't think Jesus means that anymore. You don't believe in Jesus. If you believe me, what you believe about me is not the fact that I'm standing here, but what I'm telling you. And with Jesus, He was the Word. In Hebrews 11:24, we have the by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And I want you to listen to this. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible.
Amen.
We finally got to it. For he endured as he believed God. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's what it means to believe God. Amen. You believe it as though you had seen it. That's what I'm talking about. Now, how would that look? It's a great point. How would that look? It's time to make application. You think looking back, Moses would want to do things different after hearing that? I don't think so. There may be a thing he would want to do different, but I'm talking about what God's talking about. What do you think he would say to you? I think he would say, now that he has for sure seen, he would say, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Because Moses did that. He endured, God said he endured as seeing him who is invisible. In other words, he was good, just like God. God said this! This means so much more than if you think it. He was good, God said, just like if I was standing right there. You know how to be good in church? You know how to be good when your daddy's watching you? You know how to be good at certain times with certain accountability? God never goes away, and if God ever says about you that you endured as if I was standing right beside you, that's amazing!
Amen.
That's powerful! That's why Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed in the risen Lord. There's so much packed into that phrase right there. I am going to be one of those people, by God's grace, that looks at everything He says and believes it. I will be so gullible for God. I don't have to see it. I'm going to believe it like it is. And I'm going to run with it and make the best out of it as though I had seen. And I'm going to stay off that dangerous highway as though I had seen the child smashed. And we'll see how it works out on Judgment Day.
Amen.
But I'm not taking chances, let me tell you that.
Amen.
And I wish to impart that determination to every one of you. Because Jesus said, when I come, shall I find faith on the earth? And it made me squirm a little bit. Everybody thinks they have faith in God, but Jesus wasn't sure that he was going to find any. What kind of faith would he be talking about? Because it really only matters if he says he found faith. It really only matters if he says you endured as seeing him right there. That's really all that matters. Forget what everybody else says. That's really all that matters. Get hinged on the Bible and look at what it says. What is he expecting? What would make him happy? What would convince him? If you miss this opportunity, you miss the one opportunity you ever will have. And that's why I'm talking like I saw the child. I saw the tragedy. Because I believe it as if I had seen it. And I don't want you getting on that road. The Bible says, we're going to do a little bit of reading some verses that I think would have a major impact on our life if we would just believe what they said. The way we're talking about believe, what believe really means. In Luke 12:1, it says, in the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Listen to this. For there is nothing covered. Nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Do you believe that? Well, let's ask this. Can you believe in Jesus, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, without believing what Jesus just said here? You can't. Now, do you believe that as though you had seen it? What our mouth says really doesn't matter right now. God knows that with they honor me with their lips and with their works they deny me. He knows all about that kind of stuff. You won't manipulate him. You won't fool him. So it's a good time to just get real honest. Think about it the way God sees it. If in your works you're denying him, maybe you didn't know it up to this point. Maybe more light's being shed and it's being clearer. That's the whole point. This whole week, I intend to expand our understanding of God's expectations and give us some of the keys that we need to go higher and not just talk about going higher. And this is not talking about the doctrinal part of it. This is talking about the perfection of ourself, our own character. For there is nothing covered that shall... Let's pretend that we got to see this. Okay, so every time I try to cover something up, there is instant retribution. Sentence against an evil deed is executed speedily. Well, even the selfish person would stop trying to cover things up. Instantly. There's retribution. There's regret. God isn't mocked and you're sorry that you ever did it instantly. And then you do it again instantly. It's like, I'm just done doing that because him not being mocked and you being sorry that you did it, you regretting that you did it, means you really regret that you did it. It was not worth it from a selfish perspective. It was not worth it. Okay? So if you believe this verse as though you had seen it, you will not be living your life with cover-up. Right. You will not be doing things that you would not want to be made known. I'm not talking about a birthday present. I'm talking about things in your life, character flaws, sin, bad attitudes, bad ideas, bad plans, whatever. Things that you would tend to want to cover up, things that you would be ashamed of, things that you might do on that crazy phone that you would be ashamed of if somebody knew about it. I love asking the question, hey, if your phone had a soul, would your testimony to your phone save your soul? Save its soul. If your phone had a soul, would it be saved by the chaste conduct on that phone? I love asking that question. And it would be if you believe that verse right there. I promise. Now, we all believed in Jesus, didn't we? At the beginning of the message. There may need to be some recommitment as the light begins to dawn. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. And you cannot believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved unless you believe the very words of Jesus that He spoke.
Right.
And you cannot believe the words of Jesus that He spoke if you think it's a lie. In other words, unless you believe that as though you had seen it. In other words, I believe it to my very core as though I watched it happen. And that affects your life that way. You endure as seeing Him who is invisible. You watch it. You live in such a way as though you had seen it in action. You don't believe the verse. You don't. And therefore, you don't believe in Jesus because you think He lied to you. By your actions, I'm not saying by your words. God knows all about with their lips they honor me, honor me. But in their works they deny me. They got things that are covered up. They got hidden sin. They got things that they're not going to be happy when I roll it out on the housetops. But they're sitting there, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I believe what He said. He's like, with your works, you think I'm lying to you because you really don't think that's ever going to happen because you keep on doing it. And with your works you deny me while you're honoring me with your lips. You don't have to get honest to me about your problem, but you need to get honest to God. When He shows up, He needs to say, you endured as seeing Him who is invisible.
Amen.
And He needs to say that you believed Him and that He is. And that He is everything He said He is. Because without you believing that, it's impossible to please Him. If you want to give up on serving God and just go to hell, I'm sorry. That's your decision. But Jesus said, shall I find faith on the earth? Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. There's a lot of warnings, as the days of Noah were. Knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Made believers out of them. But by then it was too late. And I'm here to tell you tonight, there is no reason to go on believing that you believe in Jesus and everything's fine and He's happy. If so many of the verses that Jesus tells you directly from His own word and from His, He spoke these words, if in your life, in your actions, you actually think He's kidding. You think He's lying to you. Say it the way it is. What if God showed up to you and said, look, you honor me with your lips, but in your works you deny me. Like, Lord, no, I didn't. I prophesied, I did it. I was in church. And He goes, what about all this trash? Yeah, you honored me with your lips, but in your works you thought I was lying to you. I told you this, and you thought I was lying to you. Because every time you did that, you didn't believe what I told you. And you thought I was lying to you. And I told you I wasn't going to be mocked. Bind him hand and foot and cast him out. And everybody's standing there. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. This is reality from the Scripture.
Right.
You might as well see the reality as good as it is. You might as well visualize the tragedy on the road before somebody gets hit. And adjust your plans. There's more verses to look at. And because that sentence is not executed speedily, there's this tendency to think that there will be no sentence. They begin to think that, well, God is altogether such and one of themselves. Or that He lied to them about their sentence. He told you what not to do. He told you you're going to regret it. He told you you're going to reap corruption. I think He's lying to me. That's what you say when you do it anyway. You say, I don't believe you. If God says you're going to regret it, don't do it, and you do it, you're telling God, I don't believe you.
Right.
I think you lied to me. I didn't say that with my lips. No, you honored Him with your lips. I know that. God's not going to be fazed by your lips. Let me tell you, He's not going to be fazed by your lips. If I'm telling you this like your life depends on it, it does. More than your life. It's your eternal life. You've got to get this one right. God has to be convinced that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't say I believe on Him while you think He's lying to you. Luke 12:3. Therefore whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. These are verses that you just believe, some basic verses about the Bible. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said these things right here. He told us what's going to happen. If you believe Him and you don't think He's lying to you, these are just a few basic little verses that can transform your life by just believing that Jesus didn't lie to you.
Right.
Do you believe that verse? Let me ask you again, can you believe in Jesus without believing that verse as though it was real? No. Now, how would it change? And this is where self-examination comes in. How would it change your life if this took place instantly? The ones that have the secrets that they really don't want mom and dad to hear. The ones that have the secrets and that they don't really want the church leadership to hear. The ones that got the secrets about so-and-so and so-and-so, that they would be totally embarrassed if they came out in the light. Listen to me. If you got those secrets, and I'm not dumb. I know they happen all too often. If you got those secrets in your life and you're doing what you wouldn't even want it to go to mom and dad or the church. Listen to me. You don't believe in Jesus. Because by your very actions of shame and cover up, the fact that you're trying to cover it up means you wouldn't want it on the housetops. And if you believed it was going to get there, you wouldn't do it. By your actions, you tell God what you would do if you believed Him. By your very actions. And every time you told a secret, God was standing there and proclaimed it to the whole church. Every week, we had a accountability check. And God showed up and gave all the secrets, gave all the whatnot of your sin in your life, of the things you're ashamed of, that you know wouldn't please God or your parents or your church leaders. If God did accountability call every week, guess what? Would that make any difference in your plans, in your life? If so, then right now you've been living in unbelief. And you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will not be saved unless you correct it now that light has been given. There is grace for ignorance. But when you reject plain light, and that's what I'm doing tonight, I am making it as plain as I can make it. When you reject plain light when given, God will not become an accomplice to your crime. All you have to do is believe in Jesus. Well, that's simple. Yes, believe He didn't lie to you. And then if your actions show that you would change your plans, if you knew it was going to come out, then it shows that you actually don't believe because you don't know that it's going to come out because you think He wasn't telling the truth. Can you make a logical process like that? You remember, God has to be the one that says, I found faith on the earth. He endured as seeing me standing right there. He endured like if I did roll call every week or accountability call every single week. And He lived His life as if it was going to be that way. He was like living, just anticipating, because He also knew that when I did accountability call, I was going to give the rewards out too. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, right? So He lived His life as though if I did it wrong, it was going to be proclaimed. And if I did it right, it was going to get rewarded. And when you live your life according to that, when you believe it as though it's real, that really affects what you do. Amen. You'd be surprised how much you could shape up that old carnal self that everybody wants to justify. You'd be surprised how much you can shape up. That's for the next sermon. We know that we have failings and shortcomings and that there's grace and that there's... We know all that. I'm not ignoring that. Right now I'm dealing with a problem that we know about. And the last thing you need to do is give yourself a break. The Apostle John said at one time, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we do have an advocate with the Father. And we do. But these things say I unto you that ye sin not. God knows what you do with what you have is what is most important. What you do with what you know is what you're accountable for. And there's grace for that ignorance. And there's grace for a failure. Well, we're going to talk about legitimate failure and what grace, without turning grace into lasciviousness, where its place is. By the time you actually get to see this reality taking place, it is too late to change your verdict. And that's why I'm trying to teach it to you as though I had seen it. Because I believe it with every inch of my soul. I'm going to live my life where I can anticipate when it comes out on the housetops. You can live your life where you anticipate it, where you look at that warning and it turns into a promise. And it's going to be good. It's going to be an honor when it all comes out. The truth all comes out. You can do that. You have that choice right now. All you have to do is believe that He is and that He told you the truth. Right. And then all this stuff's going to come out. He didn't say only the bad stuff's going to come out on the housetops. He said what's spoken in closets is going to be proclaimed.
Amen.
Why are we nervous about that? Someday, if you stand there and you're ready for that day, you're going to understand that that day, that my yelling and screaming tonight was trying to be your best friend. I am telling you the what I think is the most life-saving thing I can tell you. And I believe it with all my heart. Second Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." Do you believe that? Show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. It's not always going to show up the way you think it's going to. God is still in the business of weeding out the proud and the selfish, and he wants to know if you love his ways. You need to ask yourself this question. I thought it was well worded and I didn't craft it, but the question is, would you like it if you could go to heaven without reconciling with God, without having to be good, without obedience? Would you like it if you could go to heaven without obedience? Would that make you feel so much better? If so, there's a big problem. And you will not be there. And there's a reason why God does things in ways to weed out unbelief. He knows what belief and unbelief is. Remember, do you ever put yourself in God's position? You look down and you go, who would I say believes me? Okay, I told him stuff's going to be on the housetops. I told him there's going to be wrecked. I told him I'm not going to be mocked. I told him it's going to pay corruption if they sin. I told him this warning and that warning and that warning. Okay, based on everything I told him, who believed me? A lot of people who say they believe me, but in their work, they are not living by if they actually believe these warnings were real.
Right.
They're going to be shocked when this actually happens. But they all say they believe in God. And he goes, when I come, am I going to find faith on the earth? And it's like, wait a minute, there's someone over there. Well, he's listening to every warning I gave him as if it's absolute fact. You think he'd seen it happen? There's someone right there who's actually paying attention. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. That doesn't mean you have perfect knowledge and perfect understanding, but that means in the desire of your heart, you listen to those warnings and you turn as if they're real. You believe them. You're going to be prepared for them as if they're real.
Good.
You have a perfect heart and a willing mind. That's what God requires of you. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Well, that's exciting. If you believe in Jesus and you've been living that way, endured as seeing him who is invisible, you're glad that he sees all that good, right? What do you think when you read that verse? What do you really feel when you read that verse?
Good.
So important for us to get behind our facade, even in our own blockers in our mind. We won't let ourselves go there. Just go there. Go there. Get open and get honest with God. There's a lot of unbelief in professing believers.
Right.
And remember, God has to be the one that says, "You believed me." Can you believe in Jesus without believing that the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good? Can you believe in Jesus without believing that?
No.
Could you believe in that he lied to you, aren't you?
No.
So can you believe in that verse?
No.
Can you believe that verse as if it was real? While you're trying to sneak and hide and do things that show a lack of belief in the other verses? You can't believe in that verse unless you're living as if it was real. Unless you're living as if God was standing right there. Well, we forget sometimes. Listen. Have you ever been able to remember how to remind yourself? Have you ever figured out how to remind yourself when it's time to be there for supper? Have you ever figured out how to remind yourself when it's time to be there for a job opportunity? Have you ever figured out how to remind yourself when it's important to you? Be back Wednesday night. We give ourselves too many excuses.
Right.
If God doesn't say you endured as seeing Him who is invisible, you endured like you believe that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, like He was walking with you. Incredible accountability. If God doesn't think you believe that verse as if it was a reality in your life, as if He was with you, then you don't believe in the verse. You don't believe it's true. Because I don't see His eyes. I don't think He's watching. And therefore, I will transgress. Therefore, I will do this. I will do that. I will do what I want to do. Because I don't see His eyes. And how many times in life would you stop if He showed up in the room? Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Because you're not going to see. But it's real. It's still there. And the fact that you would stop tells on you that if you believed that verse, you wouldn't have been doing it. God knows that. He knows that. How many times if God showed up, would you put your phone down? Well, you could probably start counting by how many times did it when Dad walked in the room. How many times if all of a sudden God showed up or you saw Him there? Would you stop talking about what you're talking about? How many times would you look the other way? Do you believe that verse? Do you believe that verse? These are things that challenge me to my very core. I believe everything I'm saying tonight. And it challenges me, I would say, more than it challenges anybody here, because oftentimes the one who studies it out gets a lot more out of it. These are things that are very challenging to me. I'm a person just like you are. And a lot of times we can do a lot better than we think we can. And I don't think it's going to be that long, and it doesn't matter if it is. Because I believe the Bible, I don't care. But I don't think it's going to be that long before that trumpet sounds. I don't think it's going to be that long before God calls out His people. And I think He's right when He says it's going to be as the days of Noah were. And I think all of them believed in God. For the most part, believed that He existed. But they were unbelievers. There's two different contexts there. The devils also believe and tremble, the Bible says. You believe that there's one God? Great. The devils also believe and tremble. You believe that He rose from the dead? Yeah, I know He rose from the dead. Devils also know that. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe God? Do you believe God? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's that category. And I can't present this reality with enough urgency when I think of all the people that will be left behind with a very hard reality. When this takes place, and all you have to do is believe what's clearly written. I don't have to make up anything. I'm just telling you verses that are clearly written. What a tragedy that would be. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You just believe that He's telling you the truth. And live as though you've seen it. Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You live your life as though the Lord is walking with you. Does God say that? Would God say that for you? If not, you don't believe this verse. And if you don't believe this verse, you don't believe the Bible. And if you don't believe the Bible, you don't believe in God. And you don't believe in Jesus, and you won't be saved. It's the way it is.
Right.
You can't believe God lied to you and believe in Jesus.
Right.
And you can't live a life that's totally contrary to the way you would live if you knew that verse was true. Or if it was happening to you in real time. You can't live totally contrary to the way you would live if that was your reality in your life and say you believe the verse. That's a lie. You say you know Him and don't keep His commandments, you're a liar, the Bible says. Get off the road, it's dangerous. We need to be asking ourselves again, am I a believer? Well, I know that in probably all the goodness of our heart, we would have said yes at the beginning. There may be things that are coming to light, and we need to just evaluate. We need to let God evaluate. Get His microscope out. I'm praying that He will do that for us, and that it will have a very positive, powerful impact, as it has on myself. You will either be in Ecclesiastes 8, 11 or 12. There are two camps there. Here's another one of those pages, those passages that get my attention that I want to bring out. Luke 17, beginning in verse 26, it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until that day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. That stuff really happened. God does that stuff when you don't believe. Noah was by himself. Nobody believed him. But God told him. So I'm saying, we're not making stuff up here tonight. We're not twisting, scripture and trying to force stuff to fit. And it's not logical. This is basic.
Yeah.
This is so basic. Anybody can understand this. You can't believe in God and believe the Bible is the truth and that it lied to you. Duh, that's basic. Let's take it to its logical conclusion. Let's just interpret this verse. If, say, we believed that verse, how would that affect our lives? Powerfully. And Noah would say, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. As he watched them drown. He tried and he tried and he cried and he tried. Everybody thought it wasn't necessary. They'd never seen anything like it. But the same days also says, likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built in. But God had a timer on that place. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. God does that kind of stuff. And He promises to do it again. Do you think He's lying to us? Even thus, here's the promise. Shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed? Jesus is speaking. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And he says, remember Lot's wife. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Right? Remember Lot's wife. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other left. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Left. No second chance on that. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed as though they had seen. Don't forget that, or you don't believe. Two men shall be in one field. The one shall be taken and the other left. In other words, we'll be going about our daily life. We'll be out working. We'll be out doing this. You'll be out making hay. We'll be out putting on a roof. And all of a sudden, God comes and does His harvest. One shall be taken and the other left. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Remember Lot's wife. Remember, remember, remember. Why? It's good to remember what God's done in the past. Because blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You have to go experience it. You have to be a reckless driver and experience everything that goes with that. It says in Genesis 19, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and says, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And it's very likely that tonight I seem as one that mocks. It's all a joke. If people really believe me tonight and believe the Word of God, believe what's being said tonight, there will be major steps taken that God maybe alone will see in your life to help steer your ship. Bring yourself, beat your body, bring it into subjection. And God will declare later whether anybody believed or whether I just seemed as one that mocked. Not necessary. You're being a little wild. You just had to come up with something scary for a revival service. No, that's not what it's all about. I wonder if God will say, yeah, most of the people there looked at you and thought you were just one that mocked. Can't help people like that. Right. Or if God afterwards would declare that you were a little better than these people in Sodom who in a few hours were being rained on with fire. I'm not telling you what I think the Bible says or means. I'm telling you what it says. Just telling you what it says. And again, we aren't going to abandon the ship of English and logic and rules of interpretation just because we entered the Bible. I want to be hinged right here. And just look at what it says.
Right.
I've got some illustrations in the remember category. And I'm sorry we're going a little bit here, but I'm not ready to shut it down yet. I've got some illustrations. Remember. That's a short table. I think that'll be okay. Y'all will see better. I've got some different temptations here. of things that would be on this list of sins that we might struggle with. And I want us to remember Lot's wife, Jesus said, like it was relevant. Like he thought it was relevant what God did to Lot's wife. Yes, he sure did think it was relevant. So important for us to understand that what God did in the past on certain crimes is relevant. Because blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. God gave us things that were seen on the earth when we can believe and save ourselves. And our first temptation here that we struggle with, things that are sins that are common to man, would be God-given appetites fulfilled in God-forbidden ways. We'll call you this characteristic a lifesaver. You're trying to save your life. You've got a God-given appetite. You get hungry. You get thirsty. The lifesaver. You try to save your life, you're going to lose it. God has given us, and that is where a lot of our transgression comes in, is abusing things, good things that God gave us. God-given appetites fulfilled in God-forbidden ways. Remember, Adam and Eve. He drave them out of the garden with a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Jesus did that. What do you think they would tell you today? Was God mocked? Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I think of Achan. Remember Achan. He had the desire to take care for his family. He had the desire for riches and wealth and things that we worked for. And he fulfilled that in a God-forbidden way. Directly forbidden. And he stood there and watched his family get stoned and burnt. Remember, I'm just presenting these tonight. We're not going long into them, but then we will use them again on Wednesday. The lifesaver, the one who is willing to take the God-given appetites of life, the things that you desire, and fulfill them in God-forbidden ways. You're an unbeliever. You can look at what God did in the past to those who did that. Eve saw that fruit. It was good for food. And desire to make one wise. But it was forbidden. She was an unbeliever. Did she believe in God? Well, maybe not after what we've been talking about tonight. Do you believe in God? Well, we have another temptation here. Some of these may overlap, but I tried to pick ones that didn't overlap way too much. The temptation of dishonesty. And that was the best thing I could find to represent that category of bad behavior. A sweet tart. Says, be both. Just be both. I could be bad, and then I can say I was good. I can just be both. In Revelation it says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Do you believe that? Hold it, hold it. In light of what we've been talking about, do you believe that? As if you had seen it happen. Think about it. You believe that verse? Can you believe in Jesus without believing in that verse? Can you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved without believing that verse? Who would think you could? You believe he lied to you? Oh, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm on my way to heaven. You think he lied to you? Well, sometimes your actions are speaking now, not your word, not your mouth. Forget your mouth. It doesn't matter anyway. Your actions are speaking for you. Well, sometimes I think he does exaggerate and lie a little bit, because I really don't think all liars are going to hell, because I lie occasionally to save my hide. Because sentence against an unruly deed is not an evil deed, is not executed speedily, it's fully set in me to continue that course. What will your actions say for you on Judgment Day? What will they say for you? God can read them like a book.
Right.
How would it change your life if this took place instantly? Is the question you need to ask yourself when you ask yourself if you're a believer. You saw somebody lie and they drop into hell. Well, the reason you lie is to save your life sometimes, to save your hides. And that wouldn't be saving your hide. So even a selfish person, if it was executed speedily, would stop lying, right? Even if it saved him $1,000 or a rod. Because hell's worse. Yes, and when people drop into hell, God will not be mocked. That's what he's talking about. He won't be. Hell is worse. And even the selfish person will wish they'd never done it because it was not worth it. And if you have a trouble with lying, you better get on top of that thing so fast. And plead for forgiveness. Do you have to see it to believe it? Then you're an unbeliever. And you don't believe in Jesus. You might say that you know him, but if your works deny him, you're an unbeliever.
Right.
And when you stand in judgment, you're going to say, no, I was one of the believers. I said I believed in Jesus my whole life. No. So God's like, over here. And you're like, oh, I believe the believers over here. No, you don't. No, you don't. But I did. No, you don't. You didn't listen to me. You won't. Your works, what you did with what you knew, your life is speaking volumes about what you believe.
Right.
You might need to look down back at Titus 2:11 and see if what I'm saying is trying to produce a people zealous of good works, deny all ungodliness and worldly lust, live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I'm preaching the grace of God. I'm trying to get us in line so that when he comes, there is grace available. If you're feeling convicted tonight, there's a way out. You can repent. You can change. That's grace. Without grace, there is no way out. You're done. Right now, you're done. I'm just preaching condemnation. I'm not preaching condemnation. I'm preaching reconciliation. Reconciliation is grace. It's an opportunity. Right now, you have an opportunity, but you have to take it by faith. And I want to say, remember Ananias and Sapphira. We're talking about the sweetheart problem. Two-faced, dishonest. Boy, they wanted their money, but boy, they wanted that prestige too. Does anybody know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? Anybody remember? What happened? They dropped dead at the feet of the Apostle Peter in the New Testament church. Is it valid for me to say, in talking about the character of and the temptation of dishonesty, remember Ananias and Sapphira?
Amen.
What big sin was Ananias and Sapphira committing that they were dishonest about? Anybody? Were they given a gift to the church? Oh, you mean they weren't trying to hide the fact that they had done some great sin? They weren't lying to the apostle about some sin that they had committed? You mean they were just a little bit dishonest about how much money they were giving to the church? But they were giving money to the church. And in the New Testament church, they dropped dead at the apostles' feet? Remember Ananias and Sapphira. You will be facing the God who did that. Most people don't think that's possible for the New Testament church. Most people have such a warped idea of Jesus and His grace. That's not even possible. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Did Ananias and Sapphira believe in Jesus? They did, like everybody, like most people do today. They were in church. They were giving to the church. They did, like most people do today. They didn't according to the defining of terms that we're doing tonight. That's why we're doing it tonight. Because while they believed in Jesus like everybody does today, they dropped dead. It was not a safe place to be. And it's not safe for us either. If they had just looked, they had a verse they could have looked at and believed, and it's called, "The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." That's in Proverbs. And if Ananias and Sapphira had just believed that little verse, remember those little verses I gave you tonight? Those little verses with such powerful impact? If they had just believed that little verse, they would have never tried to come to the Apostle Peter full of the Holy Ghost and lied to him. Because the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, he pondereth all his goings. They just had to believe that strip of the verse right there. But they didn't believe it. They thought that was a joke. How would it change your life if you saw God watching you and pondering everything you did? Will you have to see it to believe it? That's a fool. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Remember. Remember Ananias and Sapphira. Well, I'm sure glad I'm not a liar. You need to let God confirm that to you. He says, if you say that you know Him and you don't keep His commandments, that you're a liar. So, there's a lot of people that wouldn't outright lie to anybody, or I don't think they would. They would have too much character to do that. And yet, when they face God on Judgment Day, they'll find out they've been lying to God for a long time. And what really matters tonight isn't what anybody else says. Oh God, but he was honest. He never told me a lie. God says, he said, I know him. He said, I know him. Does anybody here tonight say they know him? I think so. He saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments. There's a lot of churches today who think that's frustrating the grace of God. People. I'm telling you the truth. There is. They're not hinged. Let me tell you, they're not hinged on the Bible. They're hinged on a modern denomination. They know they can't teach that or their church would split. I don't care if when it's all said and done, it's Noah and his family. And when God calls, he finds faith on the earth right here with Noah and his family. I feel like we've got gold right here. Split it. Chaff. Let it go. We want gold right here.
Right.
I don't think I'm frustrating the grace of God.
No.
I don't think so. I think there's a lot of people that love their sin. But if you say that you know him and you don't keep his commandments, you are a liar. The Bible says it as clear as day.
Right.
I didn't say that. The Bible said it. I was reading something to you from the Bible and that's what it said. And the truth is not in him. So if God declares you a liar, That's all that matters. He that saith he abideth, listen to this. He that saith he abideth in him. Well, there's a lot of people that say they abide in him, right? Ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. There's churches today that think you're frustrating the grace of God if you try to do that. They don't know what the grace of God is. They don't understand it, or they're ignoring it. The grace of God is calling men to reconcile while there's a second chance.
Yeah.
Right now we have a chance. That because of God's grace, we have a chance. There was no way out. Bible verse is as clear as day. You just got to believe that God wasn't lying to you when he said that. Oh, I don't believe God's lying to me. I just don't think it's true. That's how illogical people get when they get in the Bible.
Right.
And they're determined to stay where they want to stay. You can't figure out why that... I just said I didn't think God was lying to me. I didn't think it was true. I hear things almost that obvious, illogically, when we're talking about Calvinism, when we're talking about some of these other things. It's amazing where you hit roadblockers and things will be said that are almost that obviously illogical. And I'm telling you the truth. It's for real. It's determination. It's resistance. Resistance. Our next temptation that we struggle with. Resistance to correction. Despise reproof. The Bible says it like that. Despise reproof. Despise reproof. Now, I don't know what you're going to think when I pull this one out, but I don't really regret it. If you have sympathy towards this one and you think I'm being a little harsh, God tell you right in your hand. But if you resist correction, that's what I think about that character.
Amen.
You're a ding-dong. Okay? Resistance to correction. There's almost nothing more foolish that you can do than resist correction. You do have to crash around every corner. You can't listen to the warning signs. You can't listen to those who've gone before. You're not going to remember Lot's wife. You're going to experience it yourself. Resistance to correction is so foolish.
Right.
It is so damning for your soul. And it will definitely land you in hell. Remember Uzziah. He was strong. His heart was lifted up to his destruction. He went in to burn incense. He wasn't supposed to be burning incense. He was the king. And the priest came in and said, "It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God." I think Uzziah had a moment of mercy. That was his moment of mercy. I think this is your moment of mercy too. I'm not saying it's your last moment, but I think this is a moment of mercy. And God is watching. Then was Uzziah wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth, this is his response to correction. "He, you can talk to me that way, I'm the king." I think he had a moment of mercy because I've seen God in other situations where people did things out of line who, when they were faced with correction and reproof, humbled. And they got mercy. And I think when God saw this, that was enough. And it says, "While he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar." And let me tell you, God was not mocked. We're going to find out in Azariah, the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out. Something changed his mind. I think he believed. And I think he would say, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Yeah, he himself also hasted to go out. There was a change. You think he would do things different looking back? It means God was not mocked. This wasn't even the final judgment. This is God making a statement. He made statements along the way, and then he says, remember them. Remember them. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Ananias and Sapphira. Everybody doesn't drop dead over a lie. Was God just having a bad day? Was God just having a bad day? Or was God stating an opinion in mercy for us to remember? Because he knows that when it actually comes down to judgment day and he drops somebody into hell, it's going to be a shocker. And he left us merciful, stark reminders while we still have a chance. Because then you won't. Ananias and Sapphira was mercy for us. Use it. Proverbs 1, we have wisdom crying out, turn you at my reproof. I have called and ye refused. Because I have called and ye refused, I will stretch out my hand. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. They shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Now, do you agree with me? Was I a little harsh? I don't like to give names to people. I have to say, it's a little bit hard for me to put that out there. But I decided I didn't care. Because I don't think you could be more of a ding-dong than to despise reproof. It's life-saving. Reproof is life-saving. It's the way of life. Here's another one that I think we could really struggle with. Failing to carefully follow all God's instructions. Did you think that God wrote this down and gave this to us and preserved it through such assault? Just because, and there's a lot more here than needed to be preserved, but he just do it. Just keep it for him. Do you think he did that just because he didn't have anything better to do? Or do you think that every word of God is there for a reason? Failing to carefully follow all God's instructions. I'm telling you, in Christianity today, we will find probably one day that this was a major flaw. A temptation to say that we were good and plenty. It's good enough. We're doing plenty. And ignoring important aspects of God's instructions. And I just want to say, remember Uzzah. Does anybody remember what happened to Uzzah? All the house of Israel played before the Lord. Had the instruments, the harps, the psalteries. They were worshiping God. They were taking the ark to Jerusalem. God should be happy. That was good and plenty. He shouldn't be displeased. There were some details that God had just spoken because he needed something to say. No. There were some details that were life-saving details. We find out that God thought his details were important. Well, lo and behold, God thought his details were important. Do you think God's details are important?
Come on.
Do you think God's details are important?
Amen.
When they came to the threshing floor, Nathan's threshing floor, not Nathan's, but Nathan's. Threshing floor. Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. I would say good intentions. I'm talking about a flaw in people with good intentions. It looks like it's good and plenty. And you would almost feel bad to critique it. If you walked up and saw this happening, how crazy would you be? How people would think I was mocking? How people wouldn't listen if somebody stood there If I showed up there and I knew the rules on what was supposed to happen, and I was like, King David, this is all wrong. This is supposed to be being carried by the priest. This isn't supposed to be doing this way. This could cause problems. What's the problem? This is good enough. I don't know what the problem. I just know that God had some details here. And I'm pretty sure he didn't say it for no reason. He wasn't just spewing hot air, King David. I think it's dangerous to trample on this. Nothing's happened so far. Everything's, yeah, I know. I just don't. You would look crazy stopping this whole thing until the oxen shook the cart and somebody dropped dead. God was obviously not impressed, and he was waiting for an opportunity to display it. Can we remember Uzzah and read more carefully the directions that God has for us?
Good.
Can we remember? All it requires is believing in God's integrity, believing that what he did is what he meant. That's what we're talking about. If you believe in Jesus, then you believe that he did this and that he would do it again. He meant that. He said, remember Lot's wife. Believing in Jesus. When you believe in a judge, I believe that judge. You look at his track record and you operate accordingly. And there's one more. And that is the temptation that is so prevalent. We can't pretend it's not here. Don't try. And I'm not saying it any of these. It's just no sense pretending. These are things that we struggle with. These are temptations. These are character flaws that we deal with. And that would be disrespecting God-ordained authority at any level. Disrespecting God's chain of command. Being disrespectful. It's kind of like resisting reproof, despising reproof. Disrespecting God-ordained authority. And you want to know what's coming out, don't you? Did you even hear what I said? Disrespecting God-ordained authority. I didn't know what to call you. You're a whatchamacallit. But I'm weary of that type of stuff. When you find out later, don't catch yourself going around doing that. We know what God thinks about that. Remember who? Who should we remember? Anybody? Who should we remember?
Miriam.
Yeah. Remember Miriam. Disrespecting God-ordained authority. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them when he departed, and the cloud departed off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Jesus did that too, didn't he? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? Are you practicing these? Do you have these character flaws that are kind of deep-seated in your life, things that you struggle with on a regular basis? Do you believe in Jesus? If you believe in Jesus and you believe these things, remember these things, and you believe in Jesus, you say you believe in Jesus, it's time for a reevaluation.
Right.
Jesus did this, and this is what he thought about it. And he would do it again. Except, that was mercy that he did that. Because next time, it's going to be too late when he tells you his verdict again. He's not going to do this. He is weeding out the selfish who, if executed speedily on them, their evil deeds, their punishment was executed speedily, they would stop, but they would still be selfish. He doesn't want selfish people in heaven. So he's weeding them out. He's weeding them out. That's why he doesn't do it speedily. It's not that we don't know what he wants. It's that we don't believe in the judgment because it's not executed speedily. We don't believe it's going to be on the housetop because it's not executed speedily. We don't believe that his eyes are watching us because we can't see him watching us. You're like, well, I believe it and I can't see him. Then does he say that you endured as seeing him who is invisible? If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. But believing a lie doesn't save anybody.
Right.
False security is no security.
Right.
You live in a straw storm shelter and say it's a storm shelter. And when that storm blows up, you're done. It was no security. And the problem is, when this storm blows up, when this tsunami comes, when this flood takes place, when the fire begins to fall from heaven, it's too late. You need to believe in Jesus. Just believe He didn't lie to you. Are you going to have to learn the hard way? Hard, hard way. A hard, hard way. I want to read this one more passage. We're about done. But at that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angel of heaven. This is another account of when Jesus says this very similar thing. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He said, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Let me tell you. Even though it looks like Christianity is a flourishing business, there's not very many people that believe in Jesus. I'm telling you that. God knew what He was talking about. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Shall I find faith on the earth? Forget about what's going on in life. Forget about what it's going to cost you. Forget about anything. Forget about what it's going to make you look. You need to get alone with God and find out if you believe in Jesus. Everything. And let Him bring to mind all the potential things, the verses, the things that you might would change if that verse was true. If this verse was true, what would I change? If this verse was happening to me in real time, what would I change? If God was walking with me every step of the way, what would I change? Go through that and say, do I believe in Jesus? Do I believe what He said, or do I believe He lied to me? Just say it just like that. That's the way to say it. Blessed are they that have not seen the one taken and the other left and yet believe. Blessed is the one that was taken and sorry for the one that was left. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed, no matter where you end up. What would you think? What would you think if you were out there working? What would you think if all of a sudden so many people left? God's only, He's not asking you if you want to go. He's not going to come and say, anybody want to go? Like, yeah, I want to go. You want to change a few things? Yeah, I want to change a few things so I can go. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be, there they went. And you can stand there with your hair prickled and go, I was warned. I thought He was lying to me. I thought He was kidding. I didn't think God meant it when He said that. Oh, I regret. Yeah, do you regret? Yeah, I regret it. And it's only good. This is only the beginning of the regret. And that great judgment day will tell a lot. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I hope we have a good understanding of what believing in Jesus really means. There's a lot more character flaws that we struggle with that I don't have time to mention. There's other names for you. There's a lot of other things that I'm sure you can think of that would have been good, and there's other verses. I'm very limited on time. I hope that if I can impart to you a process of thinking that you can critically analyze yourself honestly and understand if you even believe in Jesus. I cannot help you unless you understand your need. God cannot help us unless we understand our need. He can say, believe in me. And you're like, I believe in you. He needs to help us understand our need. I'm trying to do that tonight to help us understand what believe in me means. God's not going to come and tell you out of heaven. He told you in His Word. And I really think that the argument is indisputable. We didn't get into anything deep and scary and hard to understand. It's basic. Just get hinged on the Word of God. Take it for what it says. You got one chance at this. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? When the one's taken and the other left, where are you going to stand? Shall he find faith on the earth? Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed.
Amen.
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 Nathan read that verse where it says he will cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. But the other gospel says he will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Let's stand together.